Good morning and greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for another opportunity the Lord has given to us to listen to His precious word. And welcome to all the visitors this Sunday morning. In fact, for the 1 month, it has been a very distressing and terrible month on one part of the world. This COVID pandemic is playing havoc among the people, and many of believers whom I have known them for many years, they are no more. They have gone to be with the Lord. And on the other side of the world, we see the promised land has become a battleground, you know, and so there is so much of confusion and chaos, and it's mind-boggling and disturbing. And sometimes we really do not understand what's happening in the world. But in the midst of all that, the Lord is giving us opportunities week after week to gather in fellowship with God's people and also to fellowship around His precious word. So it's my prayer that the Lord will give us a wonderful time as we look into His word. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. We are going to read a couple of verses, one from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we are going to read verse 11. It's been a while since we looked into the first epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we are going to read together verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And we are going to read another verse from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. May God bless the reading of His word, and we'll ask for God's help and for His grace. Our Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we thank You for another Lord's Day in our lives, another opportunity to fellowship with God's people, to bring our praise, adoration, and worship, and also, Lord, to look into Your precious word this morning. Lord, we pray that You bless the word that we have read, and we pray that You break it for us, Lord. We pray that You reveal to us the wonderful truths that You have kept for us in Thy precious word. Lord, we thank You for keeping us alive in the land of the living. Oh, Lord, there are many who could not see this day. It's not because that we are good or better than them, but it's only because of Your mercy and for Your grace. Lord, we pray that the purpose for which You have saved us and kept us in this world may be fully accomplished in and through our life. Lord, bless our time together, and may Your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the subject of my message this morning is Christian pilgrimage. The reality of a pilgrim life. Now, the first verse that we have read from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter is addressing to the suffering saints. They are going through some terrible persecution because of their faith. We have already seen that. And he is reminding them, because there is a possibility of going back to their old ways. So Peter is reminding the suffering saints that they were the elect of God. They were chosen by God. He is reminding them how great is their salvation. Now if you see the previous verses of chapter 2, he reminds them some of the great doctrinal truths that they were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a special people. Once they were not the people of God, but now they have become the people of God because God has shown mercy upon them. And then he comes to the practical side of it. And now he calls them with this identity, and that is, they are pilgrims and sojourners in this world. Believers in the scriptures are called as pilgrims or sojourners or strangers in this world. A pilgrim is someone or a foreigner traveling through a strange land. A sojourner or a stranger is one who is away from home. A pilgrim is one who is going home. Christian pilgrimage is not going to a holy land or to some so-called holy place. Christian pilgrimage is a journey through this world. It is a journey in our Christian life. We begin our journey and we end our journey, because this world is not our home. As the songwriter rightly says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. And that should be our prayer and our testimony as well. Now, as we have read in the second verse that we have read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, the great patriarchs, the fathers in the Old Testament, they confessed and acknowledged that they were pilgrims and strangers in this world. Now, if you see in Psalms 39 and verse 12, the psalmist, that David says, I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were. Again, we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15, David says, for we are aliens and pilgrims before you. In Genesis chapter 23 and verse 4, Abraham comes to the sons of Seth and asks for a piece of land to bury his wife. And he addresses them like this, and he says, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. If you see in the life of Jacob, Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, when Jacob was introduced to Pharaoh of Egypt, Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And Jacob says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. These great men of God in the Old Testament have acknowledged and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. If there is one person in the scriptures who truly lived a pilgrim life, it was Abraham. And today I would like to focus on his journey in life, how he led a pilgrim life. There are a few things that I would like to share about the reality of a pilgrim life, our Christian pilgrimage. The first thing is, Christian pilgrimage begins with the call of God. It begins with the call of God on our life. There was a time in the life of Abraham when God called him and said, Abraham, I want to leave your place, your household, your homeland, your kindred, and come to a place that I am going to show you. If you see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was. We also see in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And verse 12. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. There was a call on the life of Abraham. Now Abraham comes from a place called Ur of Chaldees. We see that in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2 when Stephen's witness. The God of glory appeared to Abraham before he moved to Haran. Now, Abraham was an idolater. He was worshipping idols. Now, the place Ur of Chaldees is a center of moon worship. It was on the banks of Euphrates River. So, they worshipped moon. Now, Abraham comes from a very illustrious family tree. He is from the descendants of Seth. Now we know that, from Shem. Now Shem comes from Noah. Noah comes from Seth. And Seth comes from Adam and Eve. He had an illustrious family tree. But Abraham might have forgotten his family tree, from where the roots, from where he came from. But you know what? God has not forgotten his family tree. And when God wanted to choose a man, when God wanted to call a man, he took him from the descendants of Seth and Shem. And one day God called him. The glory of the Lord appeared to Abraham. We do not know how God appeared to him, whether it was in a vision, whether the Lord directly spoke to him, but we know for sure God called him. Now in the scriptures, there is a generic call. There is also an effective and a specific call on the life of a believer. Now God calls everyone to be saved. A generic call for people to save. But there is also a specific call. In order God to fulfill his purposes, his plan in the life of a believer, he gives an effective call in the life of a believer. God wants everyone to be saved. God wants every believer to be a witness for him, to go into the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples, to read the word of God, to spend time in prayer. But there is a specific call that God calls people to fulfill his purpose, for a specific purpose. God called Noah to build a boat. God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. God called Joshua to step into the shoes of Moses. Here we see God called Abraham to be a blessing to the world, to father a nation. It is through him that all the nations of the earth should be blessed. That was the desire. That was the purpose of God for calling Abraham. So Abraham's pilgrimage began with the call of God in our life, in his life. In the same way, our pilgrimage, our journey in our Christian life begins with the call of God. There is a call of God on every believer's life. We need to know what is that call in our life. And if we are not going to know what is that call, we'll end up in a wrong place. As someone said, there is a difference between the call of God and a career. A career is something that you are paid for. But a call is something that you are made for. Understanding the difference between a call and a career can make a lot of difference between fulfillment and frustration in life. There was a call on the life of Abraham. Our pilgrim journey begins with the call of God. Secondly, Christian pilgrimage is leaving the place of familiarity. If there was a place in the life of Abraham that was familiar, that was comfortable, it was the Ur of Chaldees. Everything was familiar to Abraham. People were familiar. The shops were familiar. The grocery stores were familiar. Banks were familiar. He knew everything. It was comfortable. It was all against common sense to leave a place of familiarity when God called Abraham to leave his place. Every day Abraham would have got up. People would have greeted him. He would have wished people. He would have gone to the grocery stores. He would have spent time talking to people. He would have gone to the banks to draw money. One fine morning, he started packing up his bags. I'm sure many friends would have said, "Abraham, what's happening? Why are you packing up your bags? Where are you going? I'm sure you're going to a better place. Maybe you want to have started some business deals. Can you tell us the name of that place?" You know what Abraham would have said? "I don't know." You don't know the place that you're going? Because God called me and he said, "Abraham, leave your father's house, your kindred, that place of familiarity, and come to the place which I'm going to show you." But God did not tell me the name of the place or where it is. Maybe people would have been very polite, as we see polite people in Australia, right? They would have just thought in their minds, "Something has gone wrong with this guy. He's a well-settled guy. He's a rich man. He's living in a fertile land. I don't think Abraham would ever saw a famine in his life." He would have gone to the bank and said, "I want to draw all my money." And the teller would have said, "What's happening to you, sir?" "God called me and I'm going." "Which place, sir?" "I don't know." Abraham was a man of faith. He accepted an inheritance on trust without even knowing where he was, it was to be. And thus, he became a daring example of faith. And the scripture says he is the father of the faithful. When God calls us, it doesn't make sense. But we see Abraham, the scripture says, when God called him, by faith Abraham obeyed. When Jesus Christ was in this world, when he started his ministry, he went to Peter, Andrew, James and John. We see that in Matthew chapter 4. They were all fishing. They were fishermen. And you know what Jesus said? "Follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men." It did not make sense to them, right? If there was something that was familiar to them, it was fishing. They were comfortable with that profession. But Jesus said, "Follow me." They left their nets. They were left the nets that they were mending, and immediately they followed. In today's world, it would have been a fisherman leaving his nets and started distributing tracts. not knowing what he was doing. They were illiterate, that's what the scripture says. But when the call came, they immediately left the place of familiarity, the place of comfort, and they followed Jesus Christ. A pilgrim's life is leaving the place of familiarity. Let's come to the third point. Christian pilgrimage is a life of separation. We have read that verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Peter is reminding the saints and is telling, as pilgrims and sojourners, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. It speaks about a life of separation. God has saved us and delivered us from this evil world. That's what we see in Galatians. God expects us to live a sanctified life, a separate life. The call of God is a call to separation. Separation is the major doctrinal themes, one of the major doctrinal themes in the Bible. If you see in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And then if you go on reading the scriptures, he says he separated light from darkness. He has separated waters above the firmament from the waters below the firmament. He separated land from the sea. And when God has called us, he has separated from many things. When God called Abraham, Abraham had to separate himself from many things in his life. It was not easy for Abraham. If you see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. He was living in tents. He was not living like the others who were living in permanent homes. Because Abraham knew that he was a pilgrim and need to live a life of separation. But as you look into the word, as I was meditating, did Abraham 100% obeyed the Lord? If you read Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, it says, the glory of God appeared to Abraham before he came to Haran. The call of God, the glory of the Lord appeared to Abraham when he was Ur in Chaldees. Now turn with me for a minute to Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. And it goes like this. And Terah took his son Abraham and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son of Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Have you seen that? It was not Abraham who picked up his father and his nephew Lot, but it was Terah. God did not call anyone from Ur except Abraham. Not even his father. Not even his nephew. But we see, Terah took his son Abraham and his grandson Lot, and they came. That shows partial obedience. The actual call came in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, as long as Terah was there, God did not speak to Abraham. The word Terra means delay. The name Haran means dryness, barrenness. As long as Abraham was in Haran, there was a delay in fulfilling God's call in Abraham's life. It was only when Terah died, the call comes to Abraham. Abraham, I'm good. He calls him and says, come out of your country. Leave that place to the place which I am going to show you. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to separate from something which we have attached. Now remember, Abraham was not a poor man. Nothing to leave behind. He was a rich man, but he never attached himself to those riches. Abraham was a very rich man. He had a number of livestock, so many servants with him. But we see Abraham fully participated in the world and did it successfully. Why? Because he never attached himself to the material wealth of this world. It is only when he separated himself from his father, then the Lord began to speak to him. There was another person in the life of Abraham. He was his nephew, Lot. As long as Abraham was with Lot, what was happening? There were quarrels. There were misunderstandings. And the scriptures clearly says, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Verse 9. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 9. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And then we see in verse 11. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated each other. And then we see in verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him. Mark that place. It was only when Abraham separated himself from a man who loved the world, who was the friend of the world, God spoke to him. If Abraham was called as a friend of God, Lot is called as a friend of the world. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, if any man loves the world, the love, you are an enemy of God. These are very serious words. Abraham could not experience the blessing of God. God could not fulfill his purposes unless Abraham separated himself, lived a life of separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, and touch no unclean things. Christian life is a life of separation. The call of God is a call for us to separate from this world. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So Abraham had to leave many things, separate himself from many things in his life. He has to separate himself from his father, from his friends, from a familiar place, from his nephew Lot. And we see the blessing of the Lord upon him. Let's come to the fourth point. A pilgrim's life or a Christian pilgrimage is living as strangers and not as settlers. Living as strangers and not as settlers. If you see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. God promised Abraham that he is going to give that land as an inheritance to him and his descendants. Yet Abraham lived in tents. Because in a short notice, he can dismantle the tent and he can move from one place to another place. If you read Genesis chapter 12, you see Abraham, the word, he moves on. He travels from that place. These are the words that you see. He was always on the move because Abraham knew that he was living in a strange land. He was a foreigner. When Peter called the saints as pilgrims and sojourners, he also called them in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, you are a holy nation, a chosen generation. And then he uses a particular phrase and says, you are a peculiar people. The word peculiar people means strange people. You are special people. We find that same word in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We are called as peculiar people. But the problem today is, instead of being peculiar, we have become partakers in this world. You don't have to go into the world. The world is right within the church today. Instead of being strangers, we may have become settlers. Abraham never settled in Canaan because he knew he was a pilgrim and a sojourner. We are not called to be wanderers. We are called to be pilgrims looking for a new homeland, a new land. When we are pilgrims and sojourners in this world that we are living in, sometimes people look at us as strange people because our values are different from the world values. We do not do the things that they expect us to do. That's why they think this person is a strange person. Whether it is in your workplace, whether it is in your neighborhood, we are all strange people. When we were visiting some of the countries in Europe, one of the difficult things that we found was the language barrier. When we went to Germany, everyone was speaking in German language. Very few people were responding to us in English. So in order to find a place, we used to ask them in English, and they used to look at us as if we are strangers. That's what it is. When Abraham was living in that promised land, he was building tents and altars. And I'm sure people would have thought, what's happening with this guy? First Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Yes, because you are not going with the tide. You are going against the tide. That's why people think that you are a strange person. And that can lead to persecution as well. That was happening to the believers to whom Peter was writing. John 15, 18, we see the world hated Christ and they went to the extent of killing him as well. Living as strangers and not as settlers. Why? Because we are looking for a new land. And fifthly, Christian pilgrimage is learning to live by faith and not by sight. If you see in verse 13 that we have read in Hebrews 11, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them. When God promised Abraham, he said, Abraham, look to the south, north, south, east and west. All the land that you are going to see, and I'm going to give it to you. But do you know what? Abraham lived his full life. He died, but he never saw that promise being fulfilled in his lifetime. Not even in his son and grandson as well. But yet, Abraham held on to the promises of God. Abraham knew that he who has promised is faithful to fulfill those promises. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Lot walked by sight. He saw the green plains of Jordan and he said, this is the place. But Abraham walked by faith. If you see Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, from verse 18, Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, see what Paul says about Abraham, the patriarch, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was also able to perform. Have you seen the faith of Abraham? He did not waver. Faith is the essential element of pilgrimage. As someone said, pilgrimage is the faith-motivated travel. Abraham's faith was a believing faith. The Lord promised, unto thy seed, I'm going to give all this land. And I'm going to make you a great nation. But never it was fulfilled in the life of Abraham. But yet, Abraham held on to the promises of God because he knew God was faithful. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The scripture says, after he patiently endured. He would have endured so much of pain and suffering in his life because God's promises were not fulfilling. But he waited patiently. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, on our Christian pilgrimage, we can face many trials and obstacles. And the scriptures encourage us to hold on to the promises of God. He who called you is faithful and he will do it. And he will fulfill that promise. And Abraham believed God would honor his faith. And because of that, his faith sustained him. With the eye of faith, Abraham saw God's faithfulness and fulfilling the promises. Abraham patiently endured. That is the life of a pilgrim, learning to live by faith and not by sight. Sixthly, Christian pilgrimage is living in dependence on God. It is a total dependence on God. Now if you see, read Hebrews Genesis chapter 12 and the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Wherever Abraham went, Abraham built altars. Now Abraham had built at least 4 altars. We see in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, and also Genesis chapter 22. Now what does these altars represent? Now if we see, the first time when Abraham came from his place to the land which God has shown him, he has put him in the place of famine. And we know that Abraham, instead of waiting on God, he went to Egypt, he learned a lesson, and he came back. And where did he come back? If you see in Genesis chapter 13, he comes to the place of altar. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 3. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. And verse 4, to the place of the altar which he has made there at first. And then Abraham called on the name of God. Abraham, by building an altar, he opened the lines of communication heavenward. In other words, Abraham was totally dependent on God. He was sending a message that, Lord, without you, I cannot take this journey. Lord, without you, Lord, I cannot live in this world. I'm totally dependent on you. I come under your subjection, under your headship and lordship. That was the testimony of Abraham. As pilgrims and sojourners, brothers and sisters, we need to have an altar in our life as well. It is that very altar will alter our life. Our thinking, our attitude, our behavior. Though Abraham was a wealthy man, he totally depended on God. Whenever God called Abraham to move, he packed his tent, but he never dismantled the altar. It was a witness and a testimony in his life. When people passed by, when they saw that altar, they knew here was a man of God who bent his knees before God. Do you have an altar in your life where you can come every day, worship the Lord, pour out your heart before God? Maybe that altar has become old and it is broken. When Elijah was challenging the false prophets of Baal, he called Israel, the prophets, on to the Mount of Carmel. And do you know first thing what he did? I'm not taking that reference. You can find that in 1 Kings chapter 18. He asked them to rebuild the altar. That altar which was broken was rebuilt. And then he prays to God. And God sends fire and consumes that sacrifice. Maybe you had an altar in your life, but that altar is broken. God is encouraging you this morning to rebuild that altar in total dependence on God. As pilgrims, God does not want us to just pass through this world untouched. God wants us to leave a witness behind as well. And that is what Abraham left. He left the altars as a witness to the world. And finally, I close with this, the seventh one. Christian pilgrimage is looking beyond this earth. Christian pilgrimage is looking beyond this earth to a homeland. This world is not our home. If you see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, the scripture says, "For he waited for the city which his foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And then we also see in verse 16, But now they desire a better that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A life of pilgrimage is to focus on eternal things. A Christian on a pilgrimage desires a better country. We have seen how Abraham learned to live by faith, but he has also learned to look by faith as well. The word looked or waited means someone who is eagerly yearning for the homeland. Expecting eagerly. Abraham knew the ultimate fulfillment of the promise that God gave him was not in Canaan, but it was in that heavenly city. How contrast it was to the life in tents. The city that God is going to give Abraham had foundations. It was secure. It was firm. It was permanent in comparing to the life in tents. And that is what Abraham was looking forward. And that city, the scripture calls as heavenly Jerusalem. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." That is the eternal dwelling place of all the saints. We see in Revelation chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.'" These are the words that should humble us. Because when God is going to make his tabernacle among men, he's going to dwell among you and me, what a privilege it would be. And I'm sure when Abraham had this vision, all these earthly and material things were just like shadows. They were growing strangely dim. Because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. His heart was not in this earthly Canaan. Though Canaan was called as a land flowing with milk and honey, it would have been the joy of the whole earth. Even such a land could not be compared with the heaven, the city which has foundation. It was a prepared city for the prepared people. That's why Paul writes to Colossian believers in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Do not seek for the things of this earth, but things for eternal things." Now remember, the Hebrew writer, the author, is writing to those who are encountering hardship because they left Judaism and embraced Christianity. They were going through hardship in their lives. And there is every possibility for them to go back to their old ways. And that's why he says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 15, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." There is every possibility for them to go back to the land from which they have come. Abraham could have gone back to the Ur of Chaldees. People would have embraced him and welcomed him. "Welcome back, Abraham." I'm sure the Ur of Chaldees from which Abraham came
was a more sophisticated city and place when compared with Canaan. Sometimes the church seems very old-fashioned and out of touch with the latest trends. But Abraham did not go back to the Ur of Chaldees, the country from which he came from, because he knew this is the place that God wanted him to be. God is not looking for success in your lives, brothers and sisters. He is counting on your faithfulness. When Abraham wanted his son to be married, he calls his servants and says, "Go back to my homeland, that is the country from which he came, and find a bride for my son." And he says one thing. If you read in Genesis chapter 24, verses 6 here, "Do not go back. Take my son back to that place. Bring him. Bring." If the bride doesn't want to come, Abraham very clearly says, "Do not take back to that country, to that place." Jacob left his homeland and he was away from his place for how many years? For 20 years. He was staying with his uncle Laban. And do you know what? A day came. And he says in Genesis chapter 30 and 25, "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country." His heart was longing and yearning for that homeland. And that should be our heart, brothers and sisters. Our heart should be longing for that heavenly city, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God is not asking as believers to be successful in our ministry. God is asking us to be faithful in your calling and in your ministry. Mark Hatfield was a US senator. Once he visited Calcutta in India to see Mother Teresa. And he and the senator and Mother Teresa, you know, Mother Teresa, she had ministry among the house of the dying. You know, they used to treat the vulnerable children, dying children, giving them food before they died. And there was also a dispensary where thousands of patients used to line up, you know. And then when he saw all this, the senator said to Mother Teresa, "How can you bear the load without being crushed by it?" And Mother Teresa looked at him and said, "My dear senator, I am not called to be successful, but I am called to be faithful." Let's read one verse together and we'll close. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Shall we read this verse together? "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto the death, and I will give you the crown of life." May the Lord bless this word.